Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We give you glory, honor, and praise. You are the God of wonders. Hallelujah. There is none like unto you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Master. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And thank you so much for tuning in tonight to our podcast. This is Dr. Flo coming to you live from WAVN, a voice of victory. And as we tune into our podcast tonight, this is part four of our series, Powers Behind Altars. Powers Behind Altars. And the book that we're studying is the book Powers Behind Altars that is written by Dr. Reverend Francis Oracle, who is also our Father in the Lord. And this is a very powerful book. It has very deep revelation, very, very deep revelation. And for you to be able to understand the revelation in this book, you have to understand the revelation of deliverance. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. So we're going to continue this series. And I just want to welcome you tonight. And I just want to let you know that we do love you. We appreciate you. And because I do not have a cameraman, I am unable to see who's online. And I'm unable to comment because my camera is way over there. But I do appreciate you for tuning in, and just know that we love you and we appreciate you so much. So tonight we are going to continue. We are still on chapter number 3, our ancestral sins. And we are going to look at the biblical examples, And remember yesterday or last night, we read a scripture in the book of Titus, chapter number 2, and from verse number 3. And the Bible says, older women, similarly, are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor addicted to much wine, teaching what is right and good, so that they may encourage the young women to tenderly love their husbands and their children, to be sensitive, pure makers of a home, where God is honored, good-natured, being subject to their own husbands, so that the word of God will not be dishonored. In a similar way, urge the young men to be sensible and self-controlled and to behave wisely, taking life seriously. And in all things, show yourself to be an example of good works with purity in doctrine, having the strictest regard for integrity and truth, dignified, sound, and beyond reproach in instruction, so that the opponent of faith will be shamed, having nothing bad to say about us. And we learned yesterday that the opponent of the faith is Satan himself. And in verse number 8, it says, so that the opponent of the faith will be shamed, having nothing bad to say about us. And we know very well that the devil, he roams about back and forth looking for whom he may devour. And if you remember, one time God asked him, he was in heaven. He showed up in heaven and God asked him and said, where have you been? And he said, I've been roaming up and down. And also God asked him, have you considered my servant Job? So we know very well that the devil, who is the accuser of brethren, he is looking for someone whom he may devour. He may devour. And so our behavior and our character has to manifest the image of Christ Jesus so that we will not be shamed and nothing bad to be said about us. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. So we're going to look at biblical examples. Now, Abraham was called out of his heathen family by God. He did not ask God to call him. It was God's choice. He saw his background, yet he called him. Abraham was 75 years old and his wife Sarah was 65 years old when God called him. He had already married and his wife was barren before God called him. It took another 25 years before his wife could give birth to a child. If there was anybody who should not have problems in life, it should be Father Abraham. Why? Because Father Abraham is called the father of faith, and his family because God called him. But the contrary was the case. A close examination of the following will give you a clearer picture of this matter. A. Barrenness in the family. Barrenness in the family. Number one, Sarah, Abraham's wife, was barren. Rebecca, Isaac's wife, was barren. Number three, her daughter-in-law, Rachel, Jacob's beloved wife, was barren as well. So barrenness was consistent in the family. B, limited number of children. Number one, Abraham had only Isaac with his wife Sarah. Isaac had only Esau and Jacob with Rebekah. Number three, Jacob had only Joseph and Benjamin with Rachel. Number four, Joseph had only Manasseh and Ephraim. Point number C, loss of first son's birthright. Number one, Ishmael was the first biological son of Abraham, but he lost his birthright to Isaac. Number two, Esau was the first son of Isaac, but lost his birthright to Jacob. Number three, Reuben, being the first son of Jacob, lost his birthright to Joseph. Number four, Manasseh also was the firstborn of Joseph, but lost his birthright to his younger brother Ephraim. So, what do you say about a family of six, four males and two females, with each of the males going blind at the age of 25? Strange altars spoke against each of them at that age. Someone must stop these strange voices against the male folks of this family. In the course of ministration to people, Reverend Francis Oracle has come across different families with similar occurrences. For instance, some of the families experience divorce amongst their female folks at certain ages. And I have also witnessed where there's a repeat of either divorce or separation or even different kinds of hindrances to their marriages. In other words, no peace in their marriage, is always, you know, there's always fighting, there's always warring one with another. And others experience divorce as soon as they give birth to children. While for others, the male folks have stable marriages but live in abject poverty and their families hardly ever get married, even though they enjoy relative affluence. In all of the above examples, the people who experienced the mysterious happenings were not the ones that raised the altars, and yet the voices of those altars still affect them. Reverend Francis has seen families where everybody with a bright future dies prematurely and sometimes in mysterious circumstances. In some families, you will see uncompleted buildings that have been in that state for years. Why? Those who started them wanted to break the limitation of evil, one in the family, without destroying these altars and their voices, and so they were stopped by the altars. Those strange altars are the basis for evil patterns in our families. When you look around, you will see that the evil patterns occurring either from your mother's or your father's lineage. Have you ever wondered why your father struggles so much like his father and you have taken the same position of suffering? I have wondered. I wondered that myself in my family. Though you blame it on the economy and your inability to go to the university, the truth is that the level you want to get to in life has never been attained by anybody, dead or alive, in your family. Something stopped them, and what was it? The ungodly family altars. Have you ever thought about it? I have thought about it. In my family, I have thought about it. The altars and their wicked voices have set boundaries and limitations in the family. And as long as there is no godly altar to stop these voices, they will keep on speaking until somebody stops them. Hallelujah. And I pray that you're the one who is going to stop these altars from speaking against your family in the name of Jesus. Now, examples of evil patterns in the family. We have poverty. There's divorce at a certain age. There's untimely death. There's certain sicknesses, barrenness, late marriage, non-achievements, backwardness, poverty at old age, mental problems, etc. Now, when you check the occurrences of the above in the family you come from, you will understand the mystery of the altars our fathers raised. These altars have stopped us where they stopped our fathers. Time does not solve the spiritual problems. Rather, it complicates spiritual problems because in some cases, nobody is alive to give the details of what happened. This is why God gave us the Holy Ghost, who knows all things, to help us. Many people are repeating their family history or patterns and do not know because the pattern has turned digital. Our fathers experienced the analog manifestation in their time, but ours has gone scientific. Why did your father stop where he stopped? Why did your mother stop where she did? What about your uncles and your aunties? Why did they stop where they did? And why are you and your siblings going through the same experience? Why are the male folks in your family, village, and tribe going through this kind of tragedy? Think and do something now. If it was started by somebody, then somebody can stop it. And that person is you. Hallelujah. What is fighting you is the family spirit, which you have ignored. The lion you refuse to kill will kill you. The issues you refuse to confront will confront you. The enemy of your destiny will want you to ignore him and believe that he is not responsible. Hallelujah. You know, I had to get to a point where I had to stand in the gap for my family. I had to refuse and make up my mind that the issues in my family, in my family lineage, are not going to hold me captive. And I would confront them. And I'm still confronting some of them even today. Hallelujah. Chapter number 4, we're going to talk about altar in Gideon's house. And we're going to read the Bible in the book of Judges. The book of Judges, chapter number 6, verse number 1 to 8. And we're going to read in the Amplified. I like the Amplified translation. Judges, chapter number 6, and from verse 1 to 8. Verse 1 to 8. And the Bible says, "Then the Israelites did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord gave them into the hand of the Midians for 7 years. The powerful hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. Because of Midian, the sons of Israel made for themselves the dens, hideouts, which were in the mountains, and the caves and the mountain strongholds. For it was whenever Israel had sown their seed that the Midianites would come up with Amalekites and the people of the east and go up against them." So in other words, it was whenever Israel had sown their seed that the Midianites would come up against them with the Amalekites and other people and go against them. So they would come against them and destroy the crops of the land as far as Gaza. So in other words, when the Israelites had sown their crops, the Amalekites would come and they would destroy the crops as far as Gaza and leave no sustenance in Israel, as well as no sheep, ox, or donkeys. In other words, they would destroy the crops. They would destroy even the animals. For they would come up with their livestock in their tents, and they would come in as numerous as locusts. Both they and their camels were innumerable. So they came into the land to devastate it. In other words, they just came, they swarmed like bees, and they just came and devastated everything that belonged to Israel and everything that Israel had planted or sown. So Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the Israelites cried out to the Lord for help. Now it came about when they cried out to the Lord because of Midian that the Lord sent a prophet to the Israelites, and he said to them, "Thus say the Lord, the God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you out of the house of slavery." In other words, I delivered you. I delivered you. I delivered you. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. Verse 12. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Hallelujah. Verse number 10. Verse number 11. In the Amplified. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree of Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite. And his son Gideon was beating wheat in the winepress instead of the threshing floor to hide it and save it from the Midianites. So the reason why Gideon was beating the wheat in the winepress instead of the regular threshing floor was because he wanted to hide it and save it from the Midianites, so the Midianites would not come and take it away. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, O brave man. But Gideon said to him, please, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, then why has all this happened to us? And maybe that sounds familiar. You know, maybe you're saying, why is it that if the Lord is with us, why do we have corona? If the Lord is on our side, why is it that I am going through a divorce? If the Lord is on our side, why is it that I am languishing in poverty? Maybe those are questions that you're asking yourself as well. And here Gideon says, please, my Lord, in verse number 13, if the Lord is with us, then why has all this happened to us? And where are all his wondrous works, which our fathers told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us into the hand of the Midian. And maybe that's what you're thinking about. You're saying, well, maybe the Lord has abandoned my family. Maybe the Lord has abandoned me. Maybe you lost your job during this coronavirus pandemic. Maybe you lost your business. Maybe you even lost your children, or even your marriage fell apart during this pandemic. And maybe now you're saying, where is the Lord who does wondrous things? And the Lord turned unto him, verse 14, the Lord turned to him and said, go in this strength of yours and save Israel from the hand of the Midian. Have I not sent you? But Gideon said to him, please, Lord, how am I to rescue Israel? Behold, my family is the least significant in Manasseh, and I am the youngest, the smallest in my father's house. In other words, Gideon was telling the Lord that how can I be chosen to go and speak and rescue the Israelites? And yet my family is the least significant. It doesn't mean anything in the house of Manasseh, in Manasseh. And I am the youngest in my father's house. Why not take my older brother? Why me? You know, I'm the youngest in my father's house. And the Lord answered him, I will certainly be with you, and you will strike down the Midianites as if they were only one man. Hallelujah. And the Lord said to him, I will be with you. I will be with you. I will be with you. So the same way the Lord is going to be with you, no matter what's happening right now, even with this pandemic, it may be very, very tough. And I know it's not only tough for not only me, but also for everybody else. Because when I came to Kenya in February, I was coming on a 3-week trip to Kenya to take care of a few things. But I've been here now, it's almost 6 months. And it's not easy for my marriage. It's not easy for my husband and I. But we know that God's plans are the best. And we know that our faith and our trust is in the Lord. So whatever he's planning, we do not know. But we know that we are in his perfect will. So no matter how long it takes, no matter how it tarries, no matter what happens in your life, just believe and know that God is on your side. Hallelujah. And he will be with you. He will not forsake you. Praise the name of the Lord. And everything that you have lost, God is going to restore it unto you sevenfold in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, verse 25 to 35, the Bible says, and this is the King James Version, and it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it. Verse number 26, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock, in the ordered place, and take the second bullock, and offer a burnt offering, burnt sacrifice, with the wood of the grove, which thou shalt cut down. Verse 27, then Gideon took 10 men of his servants, and did as the Lord had said unto him, and so it was, because he feared his father's household, and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. Verse number 28, and when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down that was by it, and the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. Verse 29, and they said one to another, who hath done this thing? Who hath done this thing? In other words, God commanded him, and he went in at night together with his men, and they destroyed everything that was in the altar that had been built for their god or the idol Baal. And when the people came in the morning, verse 29, they said to one another, who has done this thing? And when they inquired and asked, they said, Gideon the son of Joash hath done this thing. Verse 30, then the men of the city said unto Joash, bring out thy son that he may die, because he hath cast down the altar of Baal. In other words, they told Joash, you bring your son here because he's got to die. We've got to kill him because he has brought down the altar that belonged to Baal, and because he hath cut down the grove that was by it. And Joash said unto all that stood against him, will ye plead for Baal? Will ye save him? He will plead for him. Let him be put to death whilst it's yet morning. If he be a god, let him plead for himself, because one hath cast down his altar. In other words, they asked him, Joash said unto all of them that stood against him, he said, are you going to stand in the place and defend Baal? Or you're going to plead for him? You know, are you going to save him? And here he says, And you're going to put this person to death while it's yet morning? And Joash asked him, if he is a god, let him defend himself, let him plead for himself. Verse 32, therefore on that day he called him Jerubbaal, saying, let Baal plead against him, because he hath thrown down his altar. Verse 33, then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who also was gathered after him, and he sent messengers unto Asher, and unto Zebulun, and unto Naphtali, and they came up to meet them. Hallelujah. So until you discover, you may not recover. Until you discover, you may not recover. Discovery is a key that opens the door of all recoveries. You cannot kill the enemy you do not know. You cannot confront what you have not identified. Praise the name of the Lord. So Gideon was packed by heaven. Gideon was backed. I take that back. Gideon was backed by heaven to be a judge in Israel. But he arrived in a family that had raised strange altars. He did not choose his birthplace or his parents. In the book of Jeremiah, the Bible says that before I knew you in your mother's womb, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. So the same way here, Gideon had been chosen by God to be a judge in Israel. But he was born in a family that raised strange altars. Now, Gideon did not choose his parents. He did not choose where he was born. He did not choose which family to belong to. God did. And he did it for a purpose. This family and the entire nation of Israel had been crying to God for a deliverer. Poverty and suffering had been the order of the day. Remember, the Amalekites were always destroying everything that they sowed. So poverty and suffering had been the order of the day. And the children of Israel, they cried unto the Lord, and God sent them a deliverer. And Gideon could not change the situation because he did not know what was wrong. And even though he had God's hand on him, he could not become what he was created to become. He joined the toiling in the family. Hallelujah. He encountered poverty and became a part of it, though he was destined to be rich. Now let's read verse 11. Verse 11. The Bible says, "Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abizrite. And his son Gideon was beating wheat in the winepress instead of the threshing floor to hide it and to save it from the Midianites." So he had an encounter that changed his life. When the angel announced to him who he actually was and the assurance of God's hand on his life, he asked the same question that multitudes are asking today. If God is with me, why am I going through all these? And maybe that is a question you're asking yourself tonight. Where is the manifestation of his promises to his children? Has God not forsaken his own? Now, the reason why we ask questions is because there is no evidence accompanying our deliverance. Prayers and fasting, confession of the scriptures, and quoting of the same. So as a result, some of us are confused because of the mockery of our detractors. Our present experiences are contrary to the Bible we read and quote. We ask these questions because answers to our prayers are delayed and prophecies are not fulfilled. And why is that? Our fathers sinned. And we know, and we now suffer for their sins. They used their traditions to render the word of God of no effect in our lives through their strange altars. And that we see in Matthew chapter number 15, verse number 6. And let's go ahead and read that. Matthew chapter number 15 and verse number 6. Matthew chapter number 15 and verse number 6. Hallelujah. And the Bible says in verse 6b, "So by this you have invalidated the word of God, depriving it of force and authority, of making it of no effect, for the sake of your tradition handed down by the elders." Hallelujah. So in essence, the angel announced to Gideon, "You have been chosen by God to end the siege in your family. God has chosen you to end the poverty in your family. And this enemy that has terrorized generation after generation will end their occupation in your time. Gideon, you were created for this purpose." And I'm saying to you too, that you have been chosen by God to end the siege in your family. God has chosen you to end the poverty in your family. This enemy that has terrorized generation after generation in your family will end their occupation in your time. You were created for this purpose. Now, Gideon reminded the angel that he was the least in a poor family in Manasseh. Child of God, the issue is not where you are, but who you are. Hallelujah. I'll say that again. The issue is not where you are. The issue is who you are. If you can identify who you are, then you can change the situation around you. Hallelujah. In verse 25 to 27, let us read that in the Amplified. Or let's read in the King James. "And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, Take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock. in the ordered place, and take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down. Verse number 27. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him. And it was because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, he could not do it by day, but he did it by night. So in other words, God spoke to him and told him, you need to go down. You're going to pull down that altar that was Baal's, and you're going to cut the grove that's by it. And because Manasseh was fearful of his father's household and the men of the city, he decided he was not going to do it by day. He was going to do it by night. And God showed him what was wrong in the family and the entire nation. He showed him the source of his poverty, suffering, struggling without evidence, laboring without reward. The altar in his father's house, it was not Gideon's altar, but his father's altar, which was the altar that connects the entire nation of Israel. Now, here are God's instructions to Gideon. Number one, if you're writing this down, he was asked to destroy the altar of Baal in his father's house. So the number one instruction was, destroy the altar of Baal in your father's house. Number two, build another altar for God and use the second cow of 7 years old in amongst your father's cows and offer it as a burnt sacrifice on the new altar. Now, in these two instructions lays the key to your total victory. The first instruction is to destroy the old altar. This is where deliverance comes in. And if you remember, I said in the beginning of this podcast that to be able to destroy these altars, you've got to understand the power and the revelation of deliverance. So this is where deliverance comes in. Deliverance is dealing with the issues of the past. An altar that has stopped us in the same spot where the past generation stopped. Deliverance is cutting the link between the past and the present so that you can move to the next level of your life. It is the removing of the Egyptian seed that has followed us from Egypt so that we can enter Canaan and enjoy the milk and the honey in the land. Deliverance is the starting point of reaching our destiny, but that is not all there is to it. It requires much more than just being placed or positioned at the starting line. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. And let's see, deliverance is the starting point of reaching our destiny. But that is not all there is to. It requires much more than just being placed or positioned at the starting line. God, the Almighty, knew that it would take more than just destroying the old altar for Gideon to become what he was created to be. The old altar's assignment is to keep us where it kept the past generation. Hallelujah. So the old altar's assignment. I'll say that again. The old altar's assignment is to keep us where it kept the past generation. Therefore, when we destroy it there, then we are ready to move to the next level and pass the generation that could not get or enter into. Wow, that's powerful. So the old altar's assignment is to keep us where it kept the past generation. So when we destroy it, we are ready to move to the level the past generation could not get or enter into. In other words, when we destroy the past altars, we are going above the level that the past generations would not get past. So God said to Gideon, build a new altar and sacrifice on it. Why was that? Until there is a new altar and sacrifice, we will not enter the next level. I'll say that again. Until there is a new altar and sacrifice, we will not enter the next level. It is the voice of the new sacrifice on the new altar that will speak in our favor. The old altar was empowered by sacrifice. Sacrifice attracted demonic powers to operate in the family. The new altar and sacrifice disarm these demonic powers and attract God's spirit to speak in our favor. In other words, when we destroy the old altar, which is demonic, then we build a new altar, which is godly, to overpower the old altar. And the new altar speaks on our behalf. Hallelujah. So the new altar breaks every hindrance and every limitation that the old altar had in our lives. Hallelujah. God's children often stop at destroying the old altar, which is deliverance, but refuse to follow Gideon's examples. Excuse me. Many people are prepared to go for 30 days deliverance ministration, 40 days fasting and prayer, but yet they are not ready to build a new altar and sacrifice on it. They are not ready to pay the price for the next level. This is the reason why there are many deliverance prayers, yet very little results. I'll say that again. Many people are prepared to go for 30 days of deliverance ministration, 40 days fasting and prayer, but yet they are not ready to build a new altar and sacrifice on it. They are not ready to pay the price for the next level. This is the reason why there are many deliverance prayers, yet very little results. Sacrifice attracts the presence of spirits. Sacrifice on God's altar attracts the Spirit of God to intervene in a man's affairs. Now let's read the book of Isaiah, chapter number 49, verse number 24 to 26. And we're going to read that in the Amplified Version. So we're going to read Isaiah chapter number 49 from verse number 24 to 26. And the Bible says, "Can the spoils of war be taken from the mighty man? Or the captives of a tyrant be rescued?" Verse number 25, "Indeed, this is what the Lord says. Even the captives of the mighty man will be taken away, and the tyrant's spoils of war will be rescued. For I will contend with your opponent, and I will save your children. I will make those who oppress you consume their own flesh in mutually destructive wars, and they will become drunk with their own blood as sweet wine. And all mankind will know with a knowledge grounded in personal experience that I, the Lord, I am your Savior and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob." Hallelujah. The Mighty One of Jacob. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And so God is ready to contend with whatever contends. I take that back. I read that again. God is ready to contend with whatsoever contends with your destiny. But you must attract his presence with your sacrifice. If you want your enemies or the attackers of your destiny to eat their flesh and drink their own blood, then you must be ready to attract God's presence in your sacrifice. The sacrifice of our fathers on their altars armed demonic powers to operate in the family. Therefore, our sacrifice on God's altar will stop such spirits from operating. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. So Gideon's lifting came after he obeyed God fully. So when you obey God fully, then your lifting is going to come. The elders of the land came and saw the destruction of the old altar and the sacrifice of the new altar. The new altar and the sacrifice must replace the old for manifestations of our desires to take place after deliverance. Hallelujah. I'll say that again. A new altar and sacrifice must replace the old for manifestations of our desires to take place after deliverance. It is the voice of our new altar that will speak us into our destiny. The voice of the new altar will shut up the voice of the old one. The voice of the old altars is the voice of witchcraft that is against our destiny. The voice of the new altar is the voice of the Spirit of God that speaks for our lifting and success in life. Hallelujah. Now we're going to read verse 33. The Bible says from verse 33, then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. Verse number 34, but the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him. Hallelujah. And gathered in Hebrew means came, and he was clothed. And verse 35, and he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who also was gathered after him, and he sent messengers into Asher and unto Zebulun and unto Naphtali. And they came up to meet them the new altar and sacrifice of Gideon began to speak, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. The enemy gathered to destroy the increase of the land as before, but was not aware this time that a certain young man from a relatively poor family had done something which the past generation was not able to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when the Amalekites were coming, them they did not know. They were used to the ordinary. They knew they were just going to come and, you know, destroy everything and take whatever they wanted to take. But they didn't know that there was a young man from a very poor family, the least in Manasseh, that had done something that had never been done before. He had destroyed the altar of Baal and raised a new altar for God. Hallelujah. They were aware that the old altar, which was the legal ground for oppressing Israel, had been destroyed. They were not aware that a young man who was held captive by the old altar had suddenly changed his position and raised a new altar that would permanently disarm them. They did not know that Gideon had raised a new altar that would permanently destroy them. Hallelujah. So Gideon blew his trumpet when the Spirit of the Lord came upon him on the altar, and his helpers heard his voice for the first time. They heard a new sound and rushed to Gideon. His helpers came from his village and tribe, where his family was known to be poor and where they knew him to be the least in the family. His helpers came from the families of the elders who sought his death before now. And what did they hear? The voice of a man on a new altar. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Do you know why you have remained on one level for so many years now? Your helpers could not hear your voice. There is a new sound for your next level, and that is what your helpers for the next level are waiting to hear. But the old altar has denied you this new sound. Hence, your helpers have not heard your voice. There are two most important people assigned by God to help you fulfill your destiny. They are your helpers and your advertisers. Your advertisers are to introduce you to your destiny helpers. Just a word from them projects and elevates your person and potential. Your helpers are rather receiving strange information about you. Hence, they have become your hindrance instead of being your helpers. They heard the voice of your detractors, inspired by the old altars. At one point or the other, you may have come across your destiny helpers, but they could not identify you because of the garment of shame and disgrace which the powers of the old altar had put on you. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the name of the Lord. So I'll say that again. So at one point or the other, you may have come across your destiny helpers, but they could not identify you because of the garment of shame and disgrace which the powers of the old altar had put on you. Wow, this is powerful. This is a powerful book. Now, but hear me. From now onward, your advertisers will speak in your favor at the right place and to the right people. Hallelujah. I say that again. From now onward, your advertisers will speak in your favor at the right place and to the right people. Hallelujah. Get ready, my brother, my sister. So when John the Baptist introduced Jesus in the midst of the crowd, they knew him for the first time. And God confirmed by introducing him to the crowd as his beloved son. And that we read in Matthew chapter number 3, verse number 13 to 17. Now, you need somebody to introduce you to your destiny helpers. You need somebody to speak in your favor to the right people. Gideon's helpers were 32,000 men who had just gathered unto a non-entity of yesterday. They were ready to take instruction from him. This was how Gideon became Israel's judge and leader who delivered them from the hand of the Midianites. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. So Gideon, who was the least in the house of Manasseh, Gideon, who felt like he came from a poor family, God used him, turned around his life and used him to save and deliver the Israelites from the hand of the Midianites. Hallelujah. Now, Gideon went from being a nobody to somebody. He went from being the least to the most important. He went from being from a poor family to the richest family in Manasseh. Now you can change the evil occurrence in your family. You can become what God created you to be. You can be the Gideon of your family. You can become the answer and solution your family has been waiting for and crying for over the years. Now, do you know you were born again for this purpose? Do you know you were chosen by God even before you chose God? Even before you were born, to bring the deliverance your family and generation has been waiting for. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. I know that God has chosen me to bring deliverance and change in my family and in my generation. Now, do not disappoint your family. Change the story for them. Do something to end the siege in your family. Do something to end the poverty and non-achievement in your family. In other words, let God use you to bring change in your family. Let God use you the way he used Gideon to bring a turnaround in your family. Pay the price and take the deliverance. Hallelujah. Build a new altar and sacrifice on it for change to take place. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. I say that again. Build a new altar and sacrifice on it for a change to take place. Hallelujah. This will cost you something valuable. Child of God, take note that the enemy of your destiny does not want you to make the right sacrifice, because your father's sacrifices empowered them in the first place. And if you build a new altar for God and sacrifice on it, they know that their power over your life will be broken forever. Defy their voice and do it. Change your position like Gideon did. Take your name out from that ancestral list. Hallelujah. Take your name out from that ancestral list. Hallelujah. That is why even my name changed from Florence. My last name changed from Kirich to Kinneret. Kinneret, the meaning of Kinneret is, it's a Greek or Hebrew word meaning the Sea of Galilee. That is the name the Lord gave me in 2018. And when he gave me that name, I did not understand why. But now I understand he was giving me a new assignment. So when he gave me that name, Kinneret, I embraced it. I did not understand the meaning of it until I read and researched about it and realized that it was the Hebrew name for the Sea of Galilee. And the Sea of Galilee is where many miracles happened. It's where Jesus did a lot of his ministry. Hallelujah. So now I understand why God, in relation to calling me to full-time ministry together with my husband, sending us back to Africa, placing us in Kericho, giving us land in Kericho, where he mentioned to us that this would be the ministry headquarters and this would be our new home. So now we know and understand why the new name change. It's because God has given me a new assignment. And I am paying the price and taking the deliverance so that my people, my family, and the generations coming forth can be set free from the past altars that have spoken in their lives. And you need to do the same. Hallelujah. You need to build a new altar and sacrifice on it for a change to take place. Hallelujah. It will cost you something valuable. Praise the name of the Lord. And you've got to defy their voice and do it. You've got to defy their voice and do it. Change your position like Gideon. Take your name out from that ancestral list. Hallelujah. I already took my name out from the ancestral list of my family members and my generations before me. And cut off your link from the family cycle of negative events. Cut off your link from the family cycle of negative events. You've got to do that. I have already done that. I cut off the link from family cycles of negative events in my family. I purposed I'm not going to be part of that. And I made sure that I cut that umbilical cord of all those sufferings that were going on in my family. And I purposed I am not going to be part of that suffering anymore. And today I am different from everybody in my family. And I want you to be different too. I want you to understand that you can cut off your link from the family cycle of negative events. You've got to purpose that. Do what your parents could not do and achieve what they could not achieve. Hallelujah. Do what your parents could not do and achieve what they could not achieve. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. I purposed when I learned about the powers behind altars, I purposed that I am going to go beyond what my parents did. I am going to go above and beyond. I am going to do what my parents never did. Hallelujah. In my family, out of all my siblings, I am the firstborn. I am the only one who's been to America. I am the only one in my family who has been on an airplane. I am the first one in my family who has gone out of our country. I am the only one in my family whose children have gone to school in America. I am raising or setting a new standard for the generations to come, because even my nephews who are after me now, they have all gone to university, and some are coming up and they are very good. They have national schools. They're doing very well and they are going to university. So I'm believing God that even though my children were the first to go to America, I believe that even my nephews are going to go outside the country. They're going to go overseas. They're going to go and study in nations of their choosing in the name of Jesus. So let God use you to bring change in your family. Be the first person that is going to do something that your parents never did. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Achieve what your parents never achieved. If your parents never went to university, purpose that you're going to go to university. If your parents never drove a car, purpose in your family that you will be the first to drive a car. Hallelujah. If your parents never built a house, purpose in your life that you're going to be the first one to build a house. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So do what your parents could not do and achieve what they could not achieve. Gideon became Israel's judge without campaigning or lobbying any tribe. He paid the price and the